leaving room in there in case there's any passerbys want to comment. But, no, I agree. Yeah, I think you know that's not something they can do hastily and you know without some consideration. But there are creators out there that are good at it, and they just need to start thinking that way and moving that way. And when I said I thought their website was good, you know. I don't think it's laid out well, like you're saying. I don't think it is particularly good to find information on or anything like that. What I'm saying is the stuff they've got there is good, you know, and specifically the digital magazine, the archives of the magazines, the search engine for finding stuff in articles, you know, and stuff like that. I honestly don't know about much else, you know, there, you know, and the layout of it, maybe not, but just the stuff they do have there when you find it is pretty good, like I said. But I'll probably be back. We'll have to see. And I just still not getting over this, my little butthurt over the price raise and the magazine cancellation. You know, that was just one step too far in one sitting. Oh, man. Midnight. I'm going to be getting out of here pretty quick.
I agree completely. And I would say that, again, going back to core optics and timing, is that to do both at the same time was poor optics. It was poor timing. And to do both at the same time after having just increased significantly, not a small amount, but a huge amount of some salaries at the league, you know, says that, oh, we spent more money than we have, and so therefore we have to make up the revenue. And so here's how we're going to do it, S-U, pun intended. I agree. It's a very poor optics, and there's a lot of people that in protest have said, look, I'm not going to renew now, and I may or may not renew in the future. But for right now, you know, you're going to see a dip, and it's because of what you did and how you did it. I wish the league the best. I kind of wish there was another competing organization. I do believe that, you know, competition fosters innovation, and I wish there was more than one AARRL, but unfortunately there's not, and so we have what we have. Anyhow, yeah, it is officially tomorrow. Diesel Pete, TAPB.
Yes, it is. I've got some things on my plate for tomorrow I gotta tend to, so. Gotta get my PA suite. Gotta wear my better clothes. I'm not gonna be bumming it tomorrow. Although I always carry something with me just in case. I gotta throw a jacket on. You never know. Although I've been getting away with it most of the time. Oh, yeah, oh, one comment. I was going to comment on this earlier when you had brought it up originally, but it scrolled away on me. But, yeah, I was not aware of the salary increases, you know, that coincided with this price increase in services. So, yeah, that even takes it one step further. Had I known that, I would have even been extra mad. But, I'm sure that got some people's goats too, because, you know, again, we're talking about optics here. You know, how does that look? Okay, we're going to raise all these salaries, and then we're going to come to you and say we want a significant increase in the amount we're charging you. Oh, and we're going to take away some of the features of that benefit, you know, of that subscription. It's like, squeeze me. So, yeah, I did not know about that. Probably good I didn't, because I'd be even madder than I was. I'm not mad anymore. I'm at a point now where I can reconcile it. And, you know, now I've forgotten about it. I've gotten over it. And eventually I'll probably say, I should go check something at the AARRL, and I won't be able to get to a back issue or something. I'll say, why aren't I a member? And I'll look, and I say, oh, yeah, the price went up. And they'll say, and I'll sign up or something. And I'll probably even forget that I wanted a paper magazine anyhow. So I'll probably be back at some point. Maybe, sort of, kind of, I don't know. But, yeah, heck yeah, had I known that, I'd be so angry.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I'm going to jump out of here. I've got to go feed the kitties because they want their midnight snack. And then I think I'm going to wander upstairs and head into the office tomorrow and actually do some work. So, nice chatting. And if you've been on the RS side on Phil's repeater tonight, it's been 100% absolutely rock solid. No issues whatsoever. Not a hiccup or a sneeze or anything. So that's been good. And if not, if you went over to the link, then even better, because obviously there was not a hiccup or a sneeze on that end either. And I know that that can be a little questionable at times, just because, you know, technology. But yeah, very good. All right, we'll catch you later. We'll catch you soon. W8FU, K8BB.
You see them, Katie Strauss? I'm sorry, we were just as I was keying up, I noticed somebody was keying up. Go ahead, sir. Okay, I thought I heard somebody in there with me. Okay, well, no need to come back down, but no, I switched over to Warren. And so it's been all network. And a lot of the network issues we were having are gone now that we've gone to a full MI6 backbone. Well, Phil's machine is not yet on that. We have it on the radar, but we have not got the MI6 deployed out there. More to come. All right, anyhow, catch you later. Good night. Talk to you tomorrow. W8FU.
Who cares? All right, 7-3. K8BB.
And I give you up.
K8, are you H?
Morning.
Good morning, good morning. It's a little chilly today.
We're going the wrong direction with that whole temperature thing.
Yeah, they're saying our morning drive could be interesting tomorrow. We'll see.
Are they calling for more snow?
They're calling for the hard, clear stuff.
Awesome. So if I wash my truck like I planned on this morning, it's a guarantee.
Most likely. I mean, they've been talking about this for a couple of days, they're saying it could get pretty icy. I don't know that it's like heavy on the power lines icy, but they're saying that the morning drive could be not fun.
They're talking like rain starting tonight kind of deal or tomorrow morning?
I believe it's in the overnight. Whatever the warning or alert or whatever they put out is between, I want to say, 10 p.m. and 9 a.m. So it could get interesting.
Sounds like I just need to take tomorrow off.
That would be nice. I'm gonna go prime the pumps at work tomorrow that I might have to work from home.
Man, I'm assuming this is the new EV Challenger or Charger. I don't know, whatever the hell it is. It's like a train wreck. I can't stop staring at it.
Yeah, I haven't figured out why they have to make all EVs uniquely ugly.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Like, I'm not opposed to them, but, like, look at the Hummer. Look at how good the Hummer looks. I only want it because it looks good, not because it's an EV. And then, like, all these other ones are like, let's make the light one piece. Let's make the headlights one piece. Let's make sure this looks really dumb.
Yeah, I think they spent too much time trying to make it, quote-unquote, futuristic. They're all, like, swervy lines, and I think they think they're making them look cool, but it's just too much. Just make it look like a car, and people will drive it if they want.
NADBF, I agree. It should be like a don't ask, don't tell kind of thing, where, like, is that an EV? Does it have an internal combustion engine? Not, oh my god, look at that RC car. And that's literally what they look like. They look like something I'd buy my kids at Walmart.
In a lot of cases, they absolutely do.
Anyway, that's my rant for the morning. I've been next to this guy the whole way down 53, and I'm like, why? Like, who goes and buys that?
It must be somebody that doesn't drive very far very often, that's for sure.
That's my biggest concern about getting a Hummer is, like, the practicality of, okay, it says 400 miles to a charge. If I pull a utility trailer or, you know, commute back and forth twice, you know, that's like half of my distance. And then I got to put a different charger in the house. So it's like, I don't know that it makes sense, but they look good.
Yeah, you would almost have to have one of those and then have your wife drive a pickup truck. And that way you could have the best of both worlds. Otherwise, it just doesn't make sense. You know, in theory, my household would be a great candidate for one. My wife drives like 4 miles each way to work. It would be perfect for somebody like her, but I don't want that thing in my house, and we're not buying new cars anytime soon. So unless they're giving them away for free, it's not happening.
Yeah, I'm not jumping on that bandwagon just yet, but my wife and I, her car's a 2021, so we've been talking about probably starting to plan on getting rid of that. Plus, I don't think it's too small. It's an Acadia, and we fit in it, but, like, by the time you put 3 kids, the dog, her and me, and whatever else we got to bring, it's like, we need a bigger vehicle. So we were talking about her taking my truck, because it's only got 13,000 miles on it, driving that, and then I go and get the Hummer, but, not until they're really dumping these lease prices, and I think with that mandate gone, it'll probably start to happen. I can't imagine them moving a whole lot right now that there's no 2030 EV mandate.
Well, besides that, I mean, I can't imagine what those cost, and then add on 7% interest on $60,000, $70,000
vehicle,
the payment's got to be outrageous,
$1,000
a month or more.
Well, one, I would never buy an electric vehicle unless it came with a battery warranty, the entire duration of ownership. And the one I was looking at is like $152,000, but they're leasing them at like $800 a month. So that was the only way I was going to do it, is if the lease was, you know, cheaper than my truck lease, which it almost is. So I wouldn't buy one. The payment was like $1,800 a month. I'm like, who is going to do that?
Yeah, that's wild. $1,800 a month for something that depreciates like crazy. And there's no real track record of those lasting because they're EVs. You know that the batteries are going to go bad, cells are going to go bad, things like that. That's wild.
Exactly. There's no data showing that, yeah, that vehicle will last you, you know, 5 to 7 years. It's like, well, and not only that, even if it does last you 5 to 7 years and you want to trade it in, it's probably worth literally nothing at that point. So, yeah, bad investment, but if I do it, I'm definitely leasing it. That way I can say, I don't want your toy anymore. Here you go. Battery's at 50% capacity now.
What are we talking about this morning, gents?
We're just ranting about electric vehicles at the moment.
Ah, yes. I've often said that I got no problem with electric vehicles, and I think we have to move in that direction. But I think it should be purely, you know, there should be no mandates to, you know, be electric by blah, 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 or anything like that. Let the market decide. If you produce a product that we like, you know, that we'd be great with one. I agree with Dakota. I caught the last two transmissions that, you know, when you get to that battery replacement life. But, you know, that's a killer. So leasing, yeah. We'd be perfect for it. 90% of our trips are 5-10 miles. You know, if you can keep it in a garage that doesn't get, you know, frigid cold, I'm thinking, you know, I'd never buy gas again. Yeah, I mean, I have my electric bill go up. You know, but my two biggest problems are, one, mandates, you know, to force us to get there at some certain particular point in time. You know, people don't want them. People don't want them. Make a product we want, and then, you know, then they'll take off on their own. And the second thing is the infrastructure. That's the biggest one for me. Of all these problems, infrastructure to support this. Let's say we did get switched over mandatory and everybody had to be driving electric or something like that. How in the hell would this infrastructure support that? And that's just crazy. Anyhow, who gets it next? I think, Anthony, you were cheated because you just said we're talking about electric cars and you didn't get the comment. So I'll throw it to you and then you can figure it out.
Yeah, nobody likes to be forced to do anything. And, Sean, that's what I was just saying. Like, my household would be a good candidate for one. My wife drives 4 miles to work each way. So, you know, it could work out well for us. But there's just the market hasn't dictated yet. The infrastructure is not there. The battery life, I don't know if it's there or not. But in time it'll come, and when it does, people will be happy. But and the people that drive them now love them, and that's great for them. I just think that if I'm going on a road trip, I want to pull off the expressway and pump gas for 5 minutes, not pull off the expressway and sit around and wait an hour for my car to charge, or 30 minutes. Or whatever it may be. Over to you, Dakota.
Yep, I agree. I'm not against it at all. I think the market needs to dictate it, but as far as an infrastructure standpoint, you know, we can mandate, and try to mandate and say we're going to all do this by this time. I don't care what you think. We can barely survive the summertime running our air conditioner, so I don't know how we're going to do that and charge our vehicles. I think right now it's in the infancy and experimental phase where I'm all for it, right? Like, try it out, see what works. But every single review and Reddit thing I've read, it's the same complaint. It's, we tried to take a trip, and I had to find charging stations, and I couldn't. And then it took the trip, you know, the trip took even longer because I'd have to drive 40 miles out of my way to get to a charging station and then 40 miles back, and then there goes 80 miles of my charge. So it's like, it's just not there yet. I think I could get by with one because I literally go to and from work, and it's almost 60 miles. It's 60 miles a day. So, you know, if I went there and back and then plugged it in at night, I think I'd be fine. But there's still no replacement for, you know, working pickup trucks that are pulling a lot of weight or hauling. You know, you're not going to have an EV dump truck. Like, it'll work. It's got the torque and the power, but it doesn't have the longevity or the battery duration for it to be feasible. And that's kind of where I'm at. They're cool. I still want a Hummer. I hope I get to get one soon, but yeah, it's just not there.
So I guess based on that, Hummer's electric now? Huh, I didn't know that. But, I mean, you just look at the inroads we've made since, you know, we started this journey. It's not been all that long. I remember writing a letter to General Motors asking them why they didn't have a hybrid. You know, this was probably 15, 20 years ago. And, you know, why they weren't investing. They had a very poor showing and all that. And they're like, well, we just don't see it as being, you know, anything viable. And like, you know, really? And, you know, you got to start, right? I mean, when the automobile was first introduced, and I use this analogy a lot, and I'm sure it could be shot full of holes, but, you know, when everybody was running horses and buggies and all that stuff, and cars were purchased, the same arguments were made. My horses are more powerful. I can run them, you know, I don't have to worry about, you know, gasoline or finding a gas station and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, you know, they'll pull 10 times as much as you can pull with that stupid thing. You know, it's a novelty, and only the rich people had them and all that stuff. But they progressed very quickly, and then pretty soon, you know, people, nobody were doing horses for business anymore. And the electric, you know, will have to do the same thing. You know, it's like, I got a car, it does the job, I don't see it. You know, battery disposal is going to be something, it's getting better and better. Battery life is getting better and better. Recharging is getting better and better. Distance to empty, I guess, is getting better and better. So, you know, all these things are progressing as this pushes down the road. But, again, it's got to be an individual spot. And as far as take a trip, I always hear that argument, you know, it's like, you know, well, I couldn't take a trip. Well, if you don't buy it for that, you know. That would be silly. If I only could have one car, it wouldn't be electric, right? Because if I take any kind of trips, I'm not going to deal with it. But if I've got two cars, and I've got my car that we use for, you know, maybe a truck that we use for hauling or taking a trip or something like that, or whatever your combination is, and then I've got my electric grocery getter or my electric, or even a really nice, you know, sedan, you know, that we use for bopping around town, going out to eat, you know, doing our shopping and all that stuff. You know, that's fine. You know, it's a perfect place to blend that particular technology into your life. And, you know, but, yeah, you just got to work on it at the pace that it naturally goes. That's, I think, the biggest thing. And right, I think the biggest objections people have are, you know, oh, you know, this by this year and this by that year and, you know, all this stuff. You know, get out of here. I'll do what I want when I want. And if you make the product, I'll be right there with you in 2030 or whatever it is. I don't know. WAFU, Anthony.
Sean, you're right with having two vehicles, having one being gas. But that's where it gets sticky with the mandates. They're mandating EVs. You don't have that opportunity to have one gas, one electric. But one of the things that I have heard that they're looking at doing is, and I can't remember what the actual terminology is they're going to have like a small, real small combustion engine in the vehicle that essentially recharges the batteries. So imagine under the hood there's a small inverted Honda generator that when you get down to 30%, automatically charging the battery, and then you have... it's still a self-sustained unit, and then when you park, you can plug it in. That would be fairly interesting. I think if then all you have to do is put 3 gallons of gas in, and you can keep going till you get a couple hundred miles down the road, put a couple gallons of gas in, and repeat, it starts being super effective in my eyes. KEARUH, over to you, Dakota.
Well, fortunately, the mandates are no longer. They've been removed, at least for the next 4 years, so we're safe from that. But I don't know how much this technology is going to advance over the next 4 years. But, yeah, I've seen what you're talking about, too. I don't know if it's it's what I'm thinking of, but I've been looking at, Toyota's been really digging into the, I believe it's hydrogen-powered. They're like, I think they're only hydrogen-powered, but they're saying that's going to be the way. I don't know how or why, but it sounds a little sketchy to me if they're running hydrogen, which is, you know, in nuclear bombs. So, I don't know. We'll see. That's what they've been testing and saying. It's going to blow EV out of the water.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was just going to ask about whatever happened to hydrogen. And I did not know anybody was still working with that. That was going to be the, you know, the next great thing. Quite a while ago. This is, you know, at least 20, 30 years ago, they were talking about hydrogen. Now, I'm sure that they've got technology now that's, you know, much, much better and makes it, you know, maybe more practical. But I did not know that was back on the table. And I didn't quite understand it either, you know, how they were doing that, what they meant by that. I thought water was somehow involved in it. I don't know, but that's interesting. Yeah, I like the idea of a little motor to just kind of keep things. You know, I like the idea of a hybrid a lot. You know, and you know, you run on electric when you can, and then if for some reason you know you run if you're going on a trip, well the little hybrid engine will carry you. You know, and no worries with that, and there's plenty of those out there, and they're doing great. No, people have no complaints, and you know, if you're operating correctly, your little hybrid will almost never run need gas. So, anyhow, yeah, I think I'm a candidate for one at some point, but right now I've got a work vehicle, and then I've got our vehicle, our grocery getter, and you know, I just can't with just the two of us. I can't start, you know, having the car lot at the place, and so I just not now. I'd never use it. I barely get any miles on my personal car, so you know, get another one sitting there doing nothing. I don't know. Anthony.
I would definitely be interested in a hybrid. That would be pretty nice. I put a lot of miles on my car and spent a reasonable lot of money on gas. I'd love to spend less money and make it a little bit easier. So I think, you know, if you're getting in one of those hybrids, getting 50 miles to the gallon, that's a game. Over to you, Dakota.
I heard most of that. I was going through the dryer just to guarantee that we're going to have ice tomorrow. Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see where this is going to go. I know that they're, you know, all the manufacturers have been doing R&D on it, but the only one that's really caught my eye so far has been the Hummer, and I don't think that's in reach for most people or practical for anybody because of the cost. It's just, you know, it's ridiculous, but I don't know. I'm going to keep driving this truck until I make an impulsive decision, I guess.
Well, choice is good. You know, being forced is not. And I'm, you know, so, yeah, having that choice is a good thing. Because we're all considering it. Look at this. You know, you would have gone back 10 years and we'd all just laugh and said, get out of here. You know, it wasn't even practical. And here, you know, 10 years down the road, and it's like, you know, yeah, I'd do that, but, you know, under these circumstances. So now we're, you know, now we're quite accepting under circumstances. So the technology has increased, you know, considerably to get us to that point, and it'll get better as years go by, so we'll see where we get. But they got to figure out what they're going to do with all the dead batteries, how much battery replacements are going to cost people before people want to buy. You know, that's a thing. And you know, and then how the hell, if we all said, hey, this is the cat's pajamas, we're all going electric, they better figure out how the hell we're going to keep them all charged. So those are the big long-term issues for like a massive switch over. So, anywho, how about that Cybertruck, though? Who in the hell buys that? We were talking about that the other day. That is the god-awfulest looking, most incompetent piece of equipment I've ever seen. Who would buy a Cybertruck? Anthony?
I certainly would not buy a Cybertruck. But I would like to sit in one and see what it looks like in there, because I bet it's interesting. And Dakota, so when are you making this impulsive decision? This is something that you say, and then next week you have one, so it'll be interesting. K-E-R-U-H. Over to you, Dakota. I'm getting out to pump gas, so you guys might have to pass over me. Catch up with you in a few minutes.
That ain't DBF. All this guy's driving on the highway or haul road without his lights on, good thing I didn't go. Yeah, the Cybertruck is so damn ugly, but I've watched, I don't know if you've ever watched Whistling Diesel, where he did some, durability testing on it. Those things are built like absolute tanks. They're just beyond ugly and overpriced. When they were rumored, they were saying that the triple motor was going to release at 60K, and I'm like, I'm in. I will try it for that price if it tells all this crap it says it does. And then it came out, it was like 160, and I'm like, okay, well, that's not even, like, in the realm of what it was supposed to be, nor would I ever spend that on that godforsaken-looking thing.
See, I've read that the thing's very incompetent, and it's not put together really well. I don't know, maybe I'm reading haters. I will admit this. I do not know what the people I've seen or read, what their objective is. Maybe that's their objective is just to, make fun of it or belittle it. But, it is a goofy looking thing. And like Anthony says, I'll bet it's pretty cool inside, But, never seen one. But, I don't even quite comprehend it. I can't wrap my head around it. It's like, where's the bed? Is it, is it underneath that back? Is it a real bed? I can't even picture. I should probably look that up just to see. 160 grand though? Are you serious? Or am I missing something? That's what it is. Then that's who buys it. Somebody just wants to say, I've got more money than brains, and I'm going to flaunt it.
I might be on the high side, but I think when they released, like, the initial orders were, like, 150 to 160-ish. But when they were talking about them pre-release, they were saying they were going to be around 60K. But, yeah, the bed's under that weird rolling thing. Go on YouTube whenever you got some time. Look up Whistling Diesel Cybertruck Torture Test, or Durability Test. He puts it up against a brand new aluminum F-150 with the 5-liter in it. And it honestly, it's impressive what it does, but a lot of things come to light on, like you were saying, it's not, some things are not built right or put together well. But there's a series. I think there's two or three videos. It's actually pretty funny. And also pretty amazing what that truck's able to go through and keep going, and then he keeps taking it to Tesla and they keep fixing it. So it's worth the half hour watch.
Great. I'll have to look that up, because I'm not interested in one at all, but I can watch a cat video, I can watch a Cybertruck torture test, just for fun. And then I can get a more accurate opinion as far as that goes, because the videos I was seeing is they were just bumping into something and the whole bumper was falling off, or the whole undercarriage was dropping or something, not undercarriage, but, some sort of panels or something up underneath, but just, barely anything, and they were losing parts and just like, really? And maybe those were grossly biased or something. Who knows? You back, Anthony?
I am. Yeah, I mean, those things are interesting. I don't know. I think the term truck was used loosely. You think of a truck being something very durable and can tow heavy things and carry heavy things and have a big bed, and it's a neat vehicle. I would love to be inside one, but beyond that, it's not anything I'm interested in. And I think Sean, you were saying, I could hear you, It's for people with a bunch of money that want to show off, and I do think that's what it is at this point. It's like social media influencers and people like that are driving them, spending that $150,000 so that they can make Instagram posts and look cool.
See if I got it.
Well, I'm not trying to defend the Cybertruck, but think about this. The truck I'm driving has a 5.5-foot bed. It's only rated for 9,000 pounds of towing, and it's built like it's a minivan. So the Cybertruck's not too far off from the mainstream half-tons that we're driving around in either. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, there is that. You know, if it holds its own with, you know, a similar, I mean, not price, but similar spec truck, I guess, you know, or what you would expect out of your typical, even Selcor, you know, they used to sell quarter ton, half ton, three-quarter ton. Do they even sell them that way anymore? But your typical entry-level truck used to be a quarter ton. You know, if they clearly compete with those in power and capacity and towing ability and hauling ability and all that, well, then you gotta judge them on that. You can't really expect them to, you know, do the work of a 2-ton truck, you know, and when it's designed to replace a quarter ton truck. And again, I don't even know if that's the way they do it anymore. Even when I was looking at some trucks recently, I wasn't even paying attention to that at first. I was just, I don't know what the hell criteria I was looking at. That used to be the way you went, man. Do I want a quarter ton or a half ton? Or three quarter ton. Is that even still a thing, Anthony?
I think it is. You know, they just call them something different. In the Ford line, you got the F-150, the 250, 350, you know, and then in same... In the Chevy GMC line, you have the 1500, 2500, 3500. But, Dakota, you're not wrong in that, you know, these trucks like yours, man, they are making them city trucks for sure. They are luxury vehicles at this point, the way that they fit them out. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens, but... I just pulled into the parking lot at the office. I will catch up with you guys maybe this afternoon, KE8RUH, and I will listen out. Have a good day, gentlemen.
Take it easy, Anthony. Yeah, Sean, elaborate on that a bit. So you got the quarter tons, which are the mid-size now, the Rangers, the Colorados, the Canyons, the Tacomas, the Frontiers. The little guys, and then the half tons are the Silverado 1500s, the F-150s, and the Ram 1500s, and then you go into the 2500 three-quarter ton, 3500 one ton. I had an F-350 one ton, and like every truck I've had since that, it's like this is not a truck compared to what that thing was capable of. You know, we get in my truck and take the kids out. We take my truck everywhere because it rides better, it's bigger, it's more comfortable, it's got more features than, you know, quote, the family vehicle. So Anthony hit the nail right on the head. They're turning these F-150s and half-ton trucks into these little city things. And it all started when Ram was doing, like, the $99 to $200 leases, and everyone was like, well, I'll just drive a truck then. It's cheaper than getting a car. And then everyone became accustomed to that, and then they started adding all these yuppie options to them to where they're basically a minivan with a bed.
Right. You know, and then what they call an SUV nowadays, you know, same thing. You know, it's a station wagon. It's just taller and squatter, you know, but the SUV today is just basically the modern-day station wagon. And, you know, so, that's, you know, but if you call it a station wagon, people freak out. Although I dig station wagons. And I remember Cadillac had the CTS wagon. Man, I still... They're getting a little long in the tooth technology-wise, but I still would love to have a black-on-black CTS wagon, especially if I could get a CTS V wagon.
Woo-hoo. So those V-Wagons were my absolute favorite of that series, of all the V Cadillacs. I think they look so cool. They're like a hearse. But I'm here, too. I'm going to jump out and get in. I'm definitely running later today. So maybe I'll catch you on the drive out of here. If not, have a good day, and I'm sure I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. And 8BVF, I'll be clear for yours.
All right. See you guys next time. Sitting here waiting to get my coffee and a few minutes out myself. Later. W8FU.
W8TIO, I was trying to sneak in, you guys were jibbery. When you get a chance, check out the new Scout. It's coming out in 27, 28, I think. Anyway, I'm talking to you right now in my Tesla and in my driveway with my one-ton Duramax, so I'm bipolar.
A Geo, what's it called, and what is it? By who?
Scout. It's a joint venture. It was purchased by Volkswagen. I think it's a Volkswagen and Rivian joint venture, but it's a Scout. It looks like the old International Harvester Scout from back in the day. It's fully electric. They have two options. One's fully electric and one's hybrid, but it's not the regular hybrid that you're thinking of. It actually has a charging motor in the back. So it's true electric. It just has a generator on board, which I think is kind of crazy.
We were talking about that earlier. Anthony brought that up, about how they're putting a small generator on board to keep the batteries charged. You know, and you go on a trip, you don't have to worry about charging, you know, and you just got to refill this generator, put a couple of gallons in it, and keep going. And so, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, you know, it gets rid of that anxiety about running out of battery when you're going on long distance because you got an onboard charger. Hey, well, then I got a combustion engine. You know, it's like, what's the point? Well, the point is that you're only putting, you know, 5 gallons in, you know, every, you know, couple 300 miles or something like that, you know, or something less, you know. So, you know, you gotta look at that. Say, oh, okay, you know, I could live with that, right? So, all right, I'll look that up. I don't know why I said you. I was thinking of the end of your call, and as I was thinking of that, I spit it out. It's like, Scout. So if I said, like, Volkswagen Scout, I'd be able to find that, I'm guessing. So, very cool. What else is new, Ben?
Man, not much. Just headed into the office and I caught the tail end of the conversation, and I felt like Uncle Buck there talking to his girlfriend, trying to stick my nose into it and insert my 2 cents. But, I mean, like anything else, it's all use case, right? I mean, I'm talking to you driving my Tesla Model 3 right now. This is my commuter car back and forth to work. It's great. I've driven this car to Florida and back, and I've never had any range anxiety. The Tesla supercharger network's fantastic. It's great. But I've also got a one-ton Chevy Duramax pickup. That's my farm truck that use case when I got to do stuff that requires heavy-duty moving and whatnot, I just grab the truck. So, I mean, it all works out. But, yeah, I think I caught part of the conversation, you guys talking about hydrogen and all that stuff. It's just going to be, you know, you're going to have a multitude of choices, and which is great. This is what we deserve. We deserve choices and not having one thing rammed down our throat or another. And I think the Cybertruck stuff you guys are talking about, I try and filter a lot of the Tesla talk out from the political part of it because of the hatred for Musk. So I always take everything that I hear about Tesla. A, being an owner, I know the truth. But I've also always multiplied by 0.1, and that's generally been a pretty good indicator of value.
Sorry about that. I had to order my Starbucks here this morning. And, yeah, that's the, you know, like I said, I don't know the source of the Cybertruck videos that I was watching. They didn't seem like they were hating, but they were just kind of, like, laughing at how horrible it was, you know, at, you know, durability. And so, but that could be a, you know, that could be a hate video disguised as a torture test or something. Who knows? I didn't qualify it at all. I know I wouldn't get one just based on the way they look. I think they look ridiculous, and I wouldn't be caught dead driving one, you know, unless I just wanted to prove, you know, I spent a lot of money on a, you know, impractical, perhaps impractical. I don't know. I just couldn't see myself in one of those. I like traditional looking trucks, that's for sure. But, yeah, no, it's about choice, right? And I think electric's great. I really do. I'm a big fan. But when they were mandating and saying, oh, by 2030, we're going to be completely switched over. No. Stop right there. That's not how you do it. You make a product we want. Like the Tesla. That's a great car, right?
okay, and there's others. And, you know, I want that. If it fits my lifestyle, I'm going to get one. And like you, that's the way it would work for me. If I didn't have a work vehicle and my combustion, you know, vehicle, I would probably have one. It would be absolutely perfect for my wife and I, for our day-to-day grocery getter, for everything, for almost 90% of what we do. And you know, we'd probably never buy gas. You know, I'm sure we'd never buy gas. And, well, if it was a full electric, of course not. But, but it's got to be your choice, right? And, you know, and the things I am worried about, the things that came up like they always do, is the cost of putting new batteries in. So then it becomes, do you buy one and own it? What's it going to be worth when it comes time to get rid of it? You got to rebattery it. Or what's it going to cost to rebattery it when you get to that point? That's got to be, you got to think about that. That's a factor. And maybe I'm guessing with your, you know, background and all that, you probably put that to paper and thought that out. But that's a concern. And then if everybody was forced to go to it, you know, we don't got the infrastructure for it right now. So that's a thing that has to happen. So those are the things that bother me. It's just, you know, I love electric, and I think I'd love to have one, and I think we're moving in that direction. So definitely not a hater on electric here.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, it's use case, and to your point, 90%, the Silver Truck is ugly as hell, so I agree with you 100% on that. But with this thing, I put a level 2 charger at the office, so I plug in at home, I get to work, I plug it in, and then up at the farm, I've got solar, so when we drive to the farm, on full self-driving, I sit and watch YouTube videos the whole time, and the car does everything, changes lanes, does all that shit. It's great, and I'll be honest with you, Sean, this is probably the best car I have ever driven in the snow. It is phenomenal because of the way the car sits, the weight of the batteries down low. This thing just bangs through the snow. It's incredible. So anyway, but yeah, no, it's great, but, you know, choices, right? So Weekend Warriors, the truck, and then this thing is the back and forth to Birmingham and groceries and doctor's appointments and blah, 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 and it's great. The thing, you know, you use your iPhone to turn on the climate control, you get in, it's nice and toasty, and it's got cameras all over the place, and it's perfect. It works for us, but, you know, to each your own, and it's nice to have them choices. But, yeah, I'm rolling up in the office here, too, so I suspect you're fairly close as well. So I'll listen out and bid you a good day. Talk soon, WHGIO.
All right, Ben, yeah, sounds good. And like I said, I wouldn't mind getting your thoughts on the whole battery recycling or, you know, and re-battering and stuff like that, you know, how somebody's reconciled that. That's why I would only lease at this point. Give it back to them, let it be their problem. But, you know, that's going to be reflected in the price of the lease, I'm guessing. That's how that works. All right, anyhow, catch you later. I'll be with you.
73 Zoll, this is AF4NM, listening from Ferndale, Michigan. Excellent conversation. Yeah, I wonder if they might come out with battery insurance or something in case the whatever battery supplied winds up not being great or whatever. So it is a pretty penny to replace. Anyway, 73 Zoll, AF4NM, name's Riley.
Good morning, Riley. I'm waiting for my Starbucks here. A little bit late. I'm normally at work by now. About 15 minutes behind, but running late today and in line to get my coffee. So, but the Starbucks here is about 2 minutes from the shop, so as soon as I get it, I'll be clearing soon. But I'm here for a few anyhow. I'm 3 cars back of the window. And heard you the other day. I heard the Nacho Mama prefix or suffix. And my best friend in the hobby is N8 Nacho Mama. So he might be listening right now. But so I heard you call out the other day, but I couldn't get to the radio in time. Other than that, yeah, as far as batteries go, that's the thing, you know. How much are they going to cost? They're getting better all the time, though, you know. As we sit here and cry about it, the technology is getting better, the range is getting better, the cost is getting better. You know, so all these things, you know, you can keep finding all these things, you know, all these reasons to hate, and they keep, you know, as you would expect, they keep melting away. And so I'm definitely not a hater. I'm loving electric, and I think I'll be in the club at some point. My wife's a hater, though. She's just, I don't want one of them. She'll see one YouTube video of one, you know, catching on fire, and then that's it. They catch on fire. Like, no, they don't. They can, but then a lot of things in life can happen. That's just one. So, I don't know. W-8-F-U.
QSL, yeah. I live down in Tennessee, and so we drove up here in our Ford Focus, but our other car, my daily driver, because I drive around the farthest of the two of us, is a Nissan Leaf from 2013, and I always tell people it had the worst battery ever made, and it did last 5 years, but all the other ones outlasted it by far, and you know, we survived the battery replacement, but I still think probably some warranty product or financial product for that would be good, because you know, the premise of insurance is the insurer understands the probability way better than the person buying the insurance. And batteries, they have a bunch of engineering tests and all that, so they have a good idea of how they are with however many charge cycles and so on and so forth. All of Tennessee is basically has your wife's position. Back to you.
So, I'm not familiar with the Leaf, but it's a full electric vehicle, and I'm just curious, what did it cost for replacement? And I'm guessing replacement, you know, obviously they must have handled disposal as well, so if there was any cost associated with that, it was worked into the replacement, I'm guessing. So, yeah, I'm just curious what that, what did it cost to, well, first of all, what is the Leaf exactly, and then what did it cost to repower it?
QSL, yeah, the 2013 Nissan Leaf was really the first production of electric cars outside of Tesla at any scale, so I think they just found batteries and put them in there. They did not provide temperature control for the battery, which is something that can increase the durability quite a bit for whatever chemistry they used at that time. Since then, in about, I think, 2018 or 2019, they upgraded the chemistry of the thing to be less temperature sensitive. So most batteries are sufficiently reliable that it's not a common occurrence to be replacing one. So the Nissan Leaf battery replacement industry, if you will, is a cottage industry. So really, I went down to some mechanics that did this on the side, and so they take intact ones out of cars that had other damage to where they couldn't keep driving, and swap it out more or less. And the old one they would resell, because it's still even not a great battery, it's still a pretty good battery for say server backup power or something like that. So they sell them for use in uninterrupted power supplies or something like that, just because it, even though it's not a great battery for a car, it's a really great battery for fixed location with, you know, because who cares how much volume or weight it takes up in a fixed location. So that was kind of their business model. And
all right, you dropped kind of abruptly there. I'm not sure if that was intentional or what, but yeah, okay. I didn't catch a price in there. That was the part that was, I get it. It sounded like it was kind of a, kind of a dealie and had to kind of work out there. But, yeah, that's the thing is I've been hearing horror stories. Every battering one's like $5,000. So, you know, if you got to dump $5,000 in your vehicle after you've had it for 10 years, it's like that's something you got to factor in, man. That's sizable enough, you know. You expect to, you know, I mean, anybody can run into a problem on a vehicle, like, you know, your motor blows or something like that, but that's not the norm, you know. So I'm more. So, hey, well, anyhow, all these things are working out. And I'm pulling up to the shop. Hopefully you're back, whatever happened there, and I'll make this, if not my last, my second to last.
USL, I've got the radio on a timer because I am excessively long-winded. I think you got the gist of most of it. The last part of the transmission was me saying that I wouldn't expect any of that with a modern one because they've tweaked the chemistry, they've improved, I don't think they have cars without temperature control on the batteries anymore, and the chemistry is so much better. So I think principally it's a type of thing that's probably best solved with insurance. But anyway, I think it's W8FU. This has been AF4NM. Have an excellent day at work, sir.
All right. Catch you later. W8FU.
KDFK.
Alpha Delta 8 FK, this is Alpha Fox 4 November Mike. I'm on vacation today, so I'm just, I don't have to jump out until we leave to go to see what we're seeing.
Okay. I heard Sean in there as well, the W8FK FU. This is AD8FK over here in Madison Heights.
QSL, I was leaving some blank space in there. The name here is Riley. I'm located in Ferndale for the week. Our family's out of Oak Ridge, Tennessee. We're just up here to go on an adventure. We've not really done winter, although this week is not particularly wintry thus far. Supposedly we're getting something later today, so we'll find out. I guess back to you, Sean. Guess he got tied up with something. AF4NM standing by.
Okay, ATRE.
I think it was 88FRE, AF4NM. How are you this morning?
Good morning. This is Trent, K8TRE. Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, Trent. I think we had Sean in there earlier, but he disappeared on us. Maybe he'll be back. I'm on vacation from Tennessee. We figured we'd go the opposite direction of the way people normally travel on vacation and find out what winter is.
Yeah, definitely going the opposite direction, in my opinion. I've been to Tennessee. I love it down there. Real nice, laid back. Weather seems to be always great. Yeah, this week is not as bad as it has been. It's been really cold last few weeks.
QSL Trent, we had a morning, one morning back a few weeks ago, or I think it was last week, of 4 degrees Fahrenheit, and I think that's the coldest it will get all year. Normally, probably about every other year we'll have a night with single digits, and then that's about it. Maybe one or two snows.
Yeah, I've got a hot tub outside at home here, and normally I really like it in the winter and I get in there, but lately it's just been too cold.
QSL, understand about that. Yeah, down in Tennessee, whenever it snows or it ices, I just stay off the road, mostly because I'm afraid of everyone else. The roads are not particularly straight either. I suppose up here people have a better idea of what to do when it snows. But Tennessee, just stay home.
Yeah, you would think that they do have a good idea, but it takes one or two snowstorms up here for everybody to remember how to drive, I think.
QSL, someone from Chicago said something similar, is people get used to the summer driving, and when winter hits, it's some bit of mental adjustment, which I guess psychology or something like that could be stupidity, but who am I to judge?
Got a daughter that's just starting to drive, and we've been going out quite a bit lately, and if you want to find a way to make your heart drop, getting a bad snowstorm with a 15-year-old driving, that'll pucker you up.
That sounds absolutely terrifying. I don't know what the kind of legal restrictions on driving under a learner's permit or a provisional license are up here, but I learned in North Carolina, and they wouldn't let you drive at night. I feel like here I'm surprised they don't have some hazardous condition asterisks or something. But at the same time, if you don't start, you got to start sometime.
They actually want you to drive at night up here. They have a certain number of hours that they have to log, right? And daytime and nighttime hours. So they kind of push it that they'd like you to drive at night. But to my knowledge, there's no restrictions on weather conditions, which up here, you know, we get it pretty often. So I don't know.
USL, yeah, I guess if it's like that all the time, it's, you just got to do it. I got about half of it. I gathered there was a parking lot and practicing driving involved, which probably I'll do something like that here tonight or tomorrow, just to make sure I kind of know what I'm doing. But back to you, see if it's better. I got none of that, so it's probably just a bad spot you're going through, but actually my family's up and we're going to do breakfast here, so it's been excellent talking to you. I think you're KD8EEK or somewhere along those lines, apologies, but have an excellent day. I'm probably going to turn the radio off here for a second, but hopefully other people have tuned in and stuff like that, and so maybe others are here. Anyway, 73, sir, and have you excellent trip. This is Alpha Fox 4 November Mike.
WADAP. Are you doing okay with no packages from China being delivered? W8RCY would like to know.
Perfect. Fine. Why, do you know if it's everybody or just the U.S. Postal Service? I heard it was just the U.S. Postal Service because they weren't ready to inspect all the small packages under $800. That was a loophole for a while. Anything under $800 didn't have to be inspected. Now it does, so not sure how it'll affect Amazon or FedEx or whatever, DHL or...
Well, I was more concerned about Wolfwang.
No, I have never ordered a Bofang from China. I always get them from Amazon in their warehouse. But eventually the warehouse is going to run out. Besides, I got more than enough HTs. If you need one or two, let me know. Until this gets ironed out, if anyone needs a radio, let me know. I got plenty of them. But no. I'm curious about that radio you're looking for. No, it doesn't have to have a 4G or 5G card, right?
No, it doesn't. And most of them do not have to have anything in them. All you got to do is run them on Wi-Fi. And in my last email to you, I said, you know, where can you not find Wi-Fi these days? So there was just a nice little radio about the size of my XTR. Looked almost like an R7. And it was just a nice little radio, but I took a 7-foot dump out of a cabinet onto my stovetop and then down on the ground and busted the antenna off of it, cracked the top of it, and it just slowly died. And I went looking for another one, and I can only find used ones, and they're all banged up. Followed their web page, now I can't even find them anywhere. So I have to look for a whole new radio, and I'm looking at any thank you, which is kind of nice for about $80-$90.
WADAP. Yeah, I was just curious too. Are you going to use any of the other networks on it, or that's something I know nothing about. I know you've mentioned Zello, which is, you know, you could do Zello with a phone that, you know, it's not subscribed to any service. Like, I have a phone that's just used for Wi-Fi only as a backup. So I'm assuming you wanted to use it for something other than Zello, because you could just use that on just buy a phone for $80.
Well, currently I'm using my phone because of that radio dying, but I'm not doing my channels and contacts. I only have just a few people, like myself, my significant other, Mike over on the Troy repeater, and a few others. But, I mean, I don't want to use my cell phone to fill it up with contacts on Zello. I want my phone to be my phone, and like I said, I mean, myself and my significant other on our phones, but if I start piling it up with, you know, all of us guys on it, you know, then my phone's just going to get overloaded.
Right. Yeah, people wonder why I have a spare phone, you know, that's just set up for Wi-Fi. There's a lot of things I do with it, like streaming audio and police scanner app, the shortwave
SDR app. That way my phone, you know, doesn't get interrupted. Because I'm listening to music and listening some, and people are texting me and calling me, it interrupts everything. So I have a separate phone for that. But, yeah, for about $79, you can get a really nice Android phone. It just don't get a subscription to any services with it. Anywho, I looked at those, and there's all kinds of them out there. I have no idea what one's good or bad, but I see all kinds of them out there.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Because radio being down, I had to put my scanner apps for, listening to police stuff on my phone as well. And, so that's another thing, too, that taking what my phone is meant to be used for and its apps, and my RT4 was doing that with the Broadcastify apps and things like that that I put on there as well. So it was Zello, Broadcastify, and something else I had going on there. I just don't want my phone to be jammed up like that. And my days of carrying two phones at one time are long gone. I used to have, three numbers when I was employed by Verizon. And those days are over with for me. I just want one phone, use as a phone and a few apps in it for texting or whatever and other things. And then have that RT4 do all the Wi-Fi stuff. And like I said, not even put a card in it. And that RT4 had a really, really good battery in it. I could get, almost 2.5 days of nonstop use out of it before I had to charge the battery. But like I said, it took its own leap of faith and busted up the device a little bit, and it just slowly died, and now it's not even doing anything. I won't even think I'll be able to get my stuff out of it to remember what I had in it.
Question, how old was that device, and what version of Android did it have on it? It must have been fairly recent, because a lot of the apps don't work on older Android anymore. I was wondering if you knew what version of Android it was.
Uh, 4.0, and I know the newest one that I'm looking at is an 11.0 version, and I had it for about almost 3 years. And I bought it used off of a guy in New Jersey, and it was in mint condition.
4.0 is getting up there. If most of your apps don't work now, they'd be not working shortly. 11 is fine. I mean, you should be good with 11. I have some devices that are Android 7, I believe. And apps are starting to fall off, not supported anymore. But, just take a look around. What was it? One of the big names, Redivis I'm not sure what the other one, maybe TYT. I was on their main website, and they had all these network radios. I was looking at those for a little while, wondering what I could do with it. I know there's some kind of networks that run on push-to-talk. I forget what they were, but anywho, I'll take a look around. I know I've seen some nice ones somewhere. It was on one of the manufacturers' websites. It wasn't Amazon. It was on their actual website. I was looking at them.
Well, the NYSECU, is how it's spelled, is on eBay. And I believe it's on Android 11. And 11 is the newest I found. And for the price of, I think it's $89, I just call it 90. But, it's probably about the nicest one that I've seen that can handle what I need for it to do. My RT4 could have four SIM cards in it. But like I say, I'm not using it for that, and I'm not even using it for, I wasn't even using it for a phone. I was using it just strictly for data, and it had a really nice touch screen on it, and very easy to operate. It almost looked like a set of Motorola R7. I like how those global PTs now, PTs are making radios that look like the APS 8000. But it's just a nice little rugged radio, but it just fell off the shelf the wrong way and boing, boing, and it just, you know, like I said, it's just now fully dying. So if it's not dead completely, I'm finding them on eBay, and I'm looking at a little bit on Amazon, but your selection on Amazon is not as good as it is on eBay, in my opinion.
WADAP, yeah, I'm familiar with Eniseku. Familiar with that brand. I got two radios from them. Yeah, Radtel, the Redivis, or TUI, I don't know. Anyhow, I'll pass some free time on my break at work, all looking at, but I did see some really, really nice looking ones that I almost thought about getting them. But I didn't want to get one if no one else was going to. I didn't want to be the only guy who used the push-to-talk features. But very good. Other than that, yeah, it's a nice morning out here. Get some sunshine finally. Still cold out. Very good. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that. We've always had tariffs against China. They just added a little bit more to it. But the main thing is that there's no loophole for the under $800 packages. I think that's what the post office is set up to handle that. But we'll see what happens throughout the day. But like I said, I order my stuff through Amazon, which obviously comes from China at one point. So as long as their warehouse has got their stuff, it's just, well, nothing's changed. But, you know, I rarely order anything directly from AliExpress or China. Rarely. I think only like two or three times ever. So, anywho, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but the longer this stuff sits here and waits to be delivered or arriving to be delivered, it's just going to be like a bigger backlog for the postal services to get that stuff out to us. You know, I mean, you got the stuff that's already sitting there that can't be delivered because of these tariffs. I mean, while more stuff is on its way here before that backlog comes over, and then let's just say the tariffs are lifted, just per se, now the Postal Service is going to be overwhelmed with all these packages that have to go out. It's going to be worse than Christmas time.
Well, from what I read, U.S. Postal Service only delivers about 30% of the packages. Like I said, there's FedEx, and then there's private companies, so they may be set up for it. But as far as I know, FedEx or UPS hasn't said anything. And I know that Amazon has their own, if I order something from Amazon and it says it's going to be, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, it's coming from China, they have their own delivery service. So I don't know how, I think Amazon will be more ready to handle all this. So we'll see what the other carriers say. But so far it's only the post office, which is only less than a third. Man, there's a lot of dump trucks. There's like a line of like 8 dump trucks going down Mount.
Yeah, but like at Christmas time, though, you know how these carriers pawn stuff off on other carriers, you know. I mean, I've ordered stuff at Christmas time through FedEx, or I actually ordered something and it shipped to me through FedEx, and it arrives to me, or even in transition, my tracking number changes from a FedEx tracking number to a Postal Service, U.S. Postal Service tracking number. And it's like, why do you people do that? Well, we're overwhelmed, so we kind of like on and off on them. And now it's going to be like the other way around, where the Postal Service has got all these packages. You're expecting to come via the Postal Service, and you get the numbers changing because it's coming FedEx, DHL, UPS, or these other private carriers. You know,
you've got a valid point about Amazon having their own service, but it's just, you know, other people that do it the normal way. And I've had that happen to me 90% of the time. Matter of fact, I work with a new company and they don't deliver FedEx. So we work with UPS, you know, solely with UPS. I'll say, okay, I got to find somebody else because I can't stand UPS.
Pretty good. Yeah, there might be somebody else in there who want to talk, throw a comment in. Anyhow, I'm just about at work anyhow, so I will talk to you later. You have a good day, and just pulling into work. WEAP, is anybody else out there? Go ahead. Okay, I'll say CWF.
Hi, is that Brian I heard out there?
Good morning, sir.
W8RCY. Eric, you have a great day, and we'll catch up with you later.
All right, Brian.
Good morning, sir. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, the last few weeks I've been a little busy. I had back-to-back weekend trips down to Daytona for the Rolex 24-hour race, and... yeah, I kind of lost my voice after that, and it took me a few days to recover because you don't do a 24-hour race your first time going back and you're officiating, and it doesn't wipe you out like it did me.
Yeah, I think that was the last time I heard you. You were in on the verge of losing your voice, and you just got back, so I didn't push it. Anyways. You know, I just went up to Traverse City this past weekend, and we had our motorcycle group winter gala, and enjoyed myself the best I could, having a cold, of course, but, yeah, you know, got up there, they have snow on the ground, they got 2 inches on Sunday, another 4 inches before we left to come home on Monday, but got to see what winter's really about.
Yeah, I kind of agree because the winters here have been so mild. I would like to go up north and just get snowed in for a week and remember what winter was really like back in the day when I was younger. Yeah, I can agree with that. But, yeah, I forgot the last time I talked. I have been back from Daytona, so, yeah, I've just been laying low and, you know, just don't give a flying wazoo about some things.
Oh, believe me, I do understand. Anyways, yeah, I was just sitting here at work. Heard you chit-chatting. Said, well, I haven't heard from him in a long time. Had a minute, so I thought I'd jump in and say hello. But I do got to get back at it.
Well, I truly appreciate you checking in and helps me get caught up on what day of the week it is and everything and so on and so forth. But I don't have to do anything until mid-March now. I've got to go back down to Sebring, Florida. But that's not a 24-hour race. It's only a 12. And it's funny because the IMSA schedule runs backwards. It's got their big 24-hour at the beginning. And it ends up with a 10-hour, but in between there's a bunch of 6 hours and things like that that I got to run that are only like a day, half a day, and that makes it easy, but yeah. All right, well, great hearing from you. I'm glad you made it up north and back safely, and yeah, we'll be around listening, hanging out here a lot, and I'm still hanging out on Troy. Other than that, though, I'm not hanging out much on anything else. So make the best of it. Do take care. W8RCY, we're clear.
All right, sir. Well, stay warm, stay healthy, and I will talk to you in the future. KF8CWF, clear.
KPP, KCPP, KCPP, KO.
KGO. Good morning. Good morning, KGO.
Yeah, I got your message. I'm sorry I can't hang around here very long. It's just one of those days. I've got more to do than I can get done, and both the partners are out of town, so. But I just want to let you know I did get your messages. Okay, very good. All right. I'll throw my call out. I got some driving. I got to drive over to Rochester here in about an hour. So at least maybe I'll get a little break from the phone here. So I'll talk to you later. Any state, CP.
Cemetery drive safe. KKKQ, clear bomb turn.
Radio check, KAAUGQ. Radio check, KAAUGQ.
Sounds okay to me.
Hey Don, how's it sound in there?
Well, I am standing in my family room on my handheld. It is full quieting, full scale here.
Good, good. Yeah, I got everything back going yesterday.
Yeah, I saw your, I saw what you shared. No, it's doing fantastic, as far as I can tell. Like I said, I'm literally standing in my family room on a handheld. That's on high power. I guess I can switch to low power here. I don't know, that's maybe about a watt or something like that. I don't know how horrible it is.
Yeah, give that a try, see how it works.
Yeah, I'm on it now. I switched halfway through that transmission.
Yeah, solid.
I will tell you, this was a spot in the house that I struggled to get in before. This addition is aluminum siding, so it's kind of a metal box. So, yeah, an impressive improvement. It's doing great here.
Okay, good. Glad to hear it. All right, I got you back to what I'm working on. CPV, APD.
Very good. CAPD.
Kilo
8VSI.
NHKBB Mobile.
KE8VSI, what's up?
Hey, Mr. Greg, leaving Rochester, heading home to pick up Mama, and then I got to take her to the passport office, because it's very difficult to change your name nowadays.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I never really thought about that. Probably a pain in the butt, and she's probably got lots of that kind of stuff to do. This one probably be one of the trickiest, but at least we have an office here, so that's cool.
Yeah, well, there's so many things that have gone on in the last decade, let's say, that identity theft and name changes and address changes and everything else like that. So in order to change her passport and her Nexus card and Global Entry card, I have to be with her and also sign an affidavit. So it's quite exciting.
Wow, that's crazy. Things you got to do, I suppose.
Yeah, well, the bad guys have elevated it to that, so I can understand. I mean, I guess in the defense of all the bureaucracy, how else would you prevent it from happening, you know? So, you think about it. You know, the driver's license one was easy. So that one was easy. But all the big government ones, you know, are a lot more complicated, you know? So if you go in there and change your last name, or your wife changes her last name to whatever, somebody with a lot of money, Rockefeller, you know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, you know, you got access to all of that stuff. So you got to be thorough when you're changing identities. So I feel sorry for girls that are getting married nowadays. They got a lot of work ahead of themselves, not just the married part, the identity part.
Right, yeah, I suppose there's, at some point in time, there were probably people that took advantage of when they didn't have all those checks and balances in place and did nefarious things, and now here we are. So, well, good luck going through the hoops. I'm sure you'll get it done, and then it'll be behind you.
There you go. I've been busy because I'm the only partner at work right now. The rest of them are all gone, so I haven't had a chance to play radio or listen. I thought I heard a little blurb that Phil got his repeater up and running.
Yes, it's officially on the air, and I tried it from here, from home. I can hear it. It's kind of low signal and staticky, but I don't even think I could hear it from here before, so we're going to call that an improvement. Now, when I was out delivering and driving around town and crazy, I utilized it quite a bit because I was over in that area a lot, but I'm not doing that now, so I can't really determine, you know, much more than what I just told you from doing it from here. So, but by the sounds of it, it should be an overall improvement and rock steady from here on out. So yeah, it is up.
What kind of coverage are they expecting, or do you think? Bloomfield Hills, I thought I had heard. Bloomfield Township, Bloomfield something, I thought I had heard. So, and I didn't hear what kind of height it had and what kind of coverage it was expecting.
I don't know too much of the details. I'm guessing they said around 130 feet. A really super good antenna, and north of 100 watts. So whatever you're going to get out of that, as opposed to before, like I said, I used it when I was in the area there before, and it definitely filled a gap out that way, and so it's going to fill up a little bigger gap now. I don't know how much bigger, but it's definitely bigger. So
and even Rochester there, you know, with that you know, if you weren't coming this way, I would actually have given that one a try, but if you're going to hang out in that area. But you get around town, you get out that way, so I'm sure you'll be able to utilize it, and it'll be helpful in some cases.
Yeah, you know what the digits are in the PL? I mean, I can find it in Radio Reference, I'm sure, or one of the sites. But do you know what the digits are?
It's not offhand. I can look it up, though. Give me a second.
You don't have to. I was just being lazy.
Oh, ain't no big deal there. I think it's 2.5. I'm pretty sure that's accurate, but I'll verify it here. Hold on. Yeah, 442.5 and 107.2 up and down.
Okay, that makes sense. I think that's what the other satellite is.
The one that's in
Mount
Clemens, the hump, I think that's 107 also. Oh, okay.
So, you got anything going on exciting except waiting for the ice storm?
Yeah, I just heard about that this morning, and I looked it up about an hour ago, so we'll be getting something. It'll be interesting to see. And no, nothing more exciting going on. We did a lot of grocery shopping on the last few days, did the normal Meijer pickup order, and then did a follow-up at Kroger with things that got missed or forgotten about. And then another follow-up at Costco. So we are loaded. It can drop 6 feet of snow for all I care. Nothing else exciting going on. I'm actually cleaning up some of my bookmarks in my browser, which is probably going to be a month-long ordeal, but I think I'm just going to get a little start on it today. Getting tired of digging 3 deep in bookmarks to do something I do every day, so kind of getting the main stuff in the forefront.
No, very good. Make sure you got, if it's the ice, electric wires and ice don't do very good. Back when I lived on the west side of the state, ice and electricity, it tends to pop a lot of lines and a lot of transformers. So make sure you got some sort of solution just in case that starts to happen. And it really doesn't, you know, like over here, I haven't seen too many ice storms, but when I grew up in the west side of the state, we were notorious for ice storms, and you could just sit there and stare outside and watch the lightning everywhere.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I've seen it before. I got one wire out there for my antenna. I'm not going to do anything about it. If it dies, it dies. I'll fix it. And then as far as power to the house, I'm all set there. I probably could go get some more gasoline. I got enough for the moment. And I got some siphons. I just ordered 2 siphons. One to get gasoline out of an automobile tank. And then another one to get it from my 5-gallon, you know, the normal lawn and garden gas can that you have in the garage. I got 2 of those into the generator. So I guess I'm okay. I don't really need to run out and get anything.
About 2-3 years ago, I got a decent-sized bonus check, and I bought a standby generator for the house. And up until that point, I was always having power outages, constantly in the subdivision. Since I got this thing, I'll bet you it doesn't have 12 hours of actual use on it, and it's got more hours of exercising on it than it does of actually being used.
Yeah, I believe that. That's how those things go. I just got mine, the carburetor rebuilt, or I think it got replaced last year, and then whatever other little tune-up things it needed, oil change, spark plug, all that. So it's running great. It'll run my whole house. But it's not the outdoor natural gas type. So I do got a plug outside, and I shut the main off and hook it up. It's kind of a manual process, but it does not get used much. And same kind of thing. I think I had more power failures before I got it than after. You know, same thing goes. If you buy a new snowblower, it's not going to snow the whole season. You know how that goes.
Oh, I agree. And there's nothing like a new snowblower, especially the ones that they got nowadays. Yeah, this one I got, it's only a 7.5K. So, and it's got it's on a sub panel, okay? And it doesn't run the whole house. Well, I guess it runs the whole house, but it doesn't run the air conditioner, doesn't run the washer dryer, doesn't run the dishwasher, you know, I mean, all of the biggie power draw things. It doesn't have enough horsepower to run that, but it does have enough horsepower to run the lights, the TV, the entertainment system, the furnaces, you know, all that other stuff. So it, you know, in that respect, aside from hearing that annoying hum in the background, you really can't tell. But, you know, if you have to do laundry, you can't do it because it just doesn't have enough poop to do that.
Yep, roger that. Like I said, mine's all manual. It's hooked up to the whole house. It's also 7,500 watts with a 12K surge. So basically, I would have to use common sense. I will run my air conditioner on it, but I certainly won't do much more than that if I'm just keeping the house cool. You know, the house, you know, the air conditioning and the refrigerator are just the only things that are needed. I would probably never do laundry on it, although I've got a gas dryer, I guess I could. But those are the kind of things, you know, I'm not gonna do air conditioning and another major appliance at the same time. But I have to be aware of that because it's wired to everything. So, but I know enough and to not run into trouble, and that it would just kick a breaker anyway. But so other than that, if you discount the basically mostly just the air conditioner, it'll run everything at 7,500, no problem.
Yeah, well, because of the design of this, you know, they don't allow you to do, you know, to put them on it permanently, you know, in order to pass inspection and code, they don't allow you to, you know, do it yourself. Like, oh, you can run the air conditioner, but not the the dryer, you know, or something like that. This has to be idiot-proof. So that's why, you know, if I sell the house, no special instructions. Okay, here's what's going to happen. Power's going to go off. This thing's going to start. Here's what's going to work. Here's what's not going to work type thing. So I had to make it so it would pass inspection, and I did.
Yep, roger that. No, I get it. It's got to pass the inspection and be idiot-proof. I know exactly how that is. And in a way, I'm glad I got mine the way it is. But in your case, you know, it's pretty much just hands-off. The only thing, though, would be for me was if it's, you know, 98 degrees and humid and you got, a good long power fail, I would be definitely wanting that air conditioning. Although I know you have the know-how and the skills to make that happen if need be. So there you go.
Yeah, I don't think that little 7.5 is going to push it and push the rest of the house. But if it was that way, I would get another generator and just power up, you know, and get a gas generator and then just use that to run just the AC unit. You know, you're right. That I can do. That's easy. Just back feet, just, you know, right up there at the disconnect, turn off the damn breakers or the power to it, and then just back feet the AC, and then I'll be okay. But yeah, I wouldn't test that thing that hard. I mean, like I said, 7,500, and I'm sure 7,500 is max. You know, like you said, 7,512. You know, this one here, I'm sure that the 7,500 is the top end of, you know, it's push. And natural gas isn't as hot as gasoline, so you lose some wattage there too. Propane is good. Propane's as hot as gasoline. Gasoline's hot, but natural gas just doesn't have the horsepower.
you could actually add just a second one to run the AC. Good idea for sure. Didn't really think about the natural gas. I know that to be true with my grill. My grill is natural gas. My buddy's got an identical grill, and at one point he had it on propane, and it was hotter. So there you go. Anyway, got the delivery at the door. I'm going to go check it out, and safe travels, KE8VSI.
It'll be good. NHKTP, Ball Road, and come back. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Bravo Papa Alpha. This is KF8BBA calling CQ. CQ, CQ, KF8BBA. Calling CQ and standing by.
Present KF8GTK.
Yes, my friend, this is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Bravo Papa Alpha.
Got it, Bravo Papa Alpha. That sounded very similar to my daughter's call sign, which is Delta Charlie Kilo. So BPA versus GPK, kind of similar, but completely wrong. How you doing this morning?
Okie dokie, I got it. But what is your call sign? Back over to you. This is KF8BPA.
I guess that would help. My name is Tim. Call sign is ADHJL, Alpha Delta H Juliet Lima.
Alpha Delta H Juliet and question mark. And I missed your name. You said your name. Well, your signal is not quite 100%. Come back with your name, please, and what's the last name of your call sign? KF8BBA, back over to you. AD8, Juliet, this is KF8BBA. Okay, nothing heard. KF8BBA, standing by.
Sorry about that. My handheld just isn't making it today. I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm going to go ahead and sign off. Alpha Delta is Juliet Lima.
Audio is pretty low. Not loud, I mean. My name is Vladimir. KF8BPA, Vladimir, and I'm home QTH is Southfield, but now I'm in Mobile. 88. Juliet, question mark, KF8BPA, over.
W8FU.
Say what?
NAKAPP.
Good afternoon.
What's up, sir? Just leaving Port Huron. In my customs passport stuff and to get the stuff changed on Marion's thing, and you have to go do it yourself in person because of all the fraud. So
or I don't know what road it is, but about 5 miles south of up to the love station to get some fuel. South of Port Huron. What are you up to?
Well, just starting my drive home, and I got to get over to Canada. I haven't been over there in forever. I've got the, I don't have a passport. I just have the enhanced license. I don't know if, you know, the current trade wars and saber rattling and all that crap is going to have any detrimental effect on that, but hopefully I can just use my enhanced license to go over there, because there's a restaurant I keep meaning to go to. I've been talking about it for like 3 years, 4 years, maybe more. And I keep saying, I'm going to get over there. No, it's even longer than that, because it's pre-COVID. So I'm saying, I got to get over there. Yet here I am, still haven't been.
Well, I can give you a traffic report on getting into Canada. If you're a truck, it's not so good. I mean, the line is probably 4 or 5 miles long. If you're a car, it looked like there was no line for the cars. But I think right now, because of the dynamics of everything, I think they're checking all the trucks that are coming in pretty thoroughly, because that line was long.
Oh, man, the greatness. I almost can't handle it.
Yeah, well, whatever. I'm sure that they're checking every truck and checking it twice, you know. But for the restaurant, well, I don't know. Was your restaurant your favorite place? Is it up or is it down by Windsor?
Oh, it's in Windsor, so down this way. Not even sure we have the second bridge open yet. Is the second bridge open? That means we'd have three crossings. Bridge... Two bridges and a tunnel.
Last picture I saw, there was still a hole in the middle. Wasn't very big, but there was a hole in the middle. So that was the last one that I saw.
Yeah, I don't even know what it takes to get across. I have not been across in decades. So, but it's the place I'm going to is in Windsor. It's not terribly far from the bridge, so I'd like to go over there for dinner. It's Ukrainian food. For those uninitiated, it's a lot like Polish food, just different.
Yeah, well, make sure you bring back Motrins. I got really good Motrins over there. I got 400 Motrins with Flexerol in it, and it works really well, and that's over the counter over there.
Well, the question then becomes, can you bring it across? If I have to declare it, can I bring it across? I don't know. How's that work?
The don't ask, don't tell policy, I guess.
Yeah, homie, don't play those games with the border. They can make your life miserable.
Yeah, every time I go there, of course I haven't done it in a couple of years, but I always bring that back, and then what's the other, Voltram, whatever, that one is also a little bit stronger than what ours is. Marion says she thinks the trick is to stay overnight.
Or get a drone and fly it across the river. There you go. I wonder if that's going to be a problem at any point, especially for bringing small, lightweight things like drugs or something across back and forth. People in Windsor put in their order for drugs from Detroit. Get the Purple Gang reestablished with their drone fleet.
I thought there was a thing going on for a while where they were buffing people over there, seniors and stuff, to get their medicines. I thought that was a thing for a little while.
I suppose if you bought a bottle, or if a bottle came in like a, I don't know if they blister pack them like a two-pack, and you said, yeah, I was over here visiting and I got a headache, so I bought some aspirin, you know, you'd probably be able to bring that. Now, if you brought home, you know, 10 bottles or a case or something like that, I suppose they'd raise an eyebrow, but I don't know. I'd want to look into that. But that does sound good. If I go over there, I think I'll look into that, and then if it's not a big deal, I'll do it. But I don't. If it's not allowed, I don't think I'm gonna risk it, because I've already had a colonoscopy this year. I don't need another.
Yeah, but the Canadian ones are free.
Yeah, but I don't know which one. I'd probably be getting it on the state side. I remember some years ago I was going over there. Actually, we're just passing through. We were going to rip Windsor to Buffalo and then across upstate New York. We had to get to Connecticut, to Whalen, for some schooling and whatnot. And part of the trip was we had some equipment that we were getting trained on that we had to bring with us. And we also had some other equipment that was we were gonna put it in for repair while we were over there. And I was nervous sick about, you know, going into the Canada with this stuff. Because, you know, we had letters and all sorts of other stuff, and I was just worried it was gonna be a real big hassle. Because that's, you know, it's all high dollar American products, and we're trying to bring it into Canada. And we pull up to the turnstile, and the guy working the booth has got his feet up, and he's reading a newspaper, and he never even looks up from the newspaper. He says, where are you going? He said, Connecticut. He said, how long are you going to be in Canada? He said, as long as it takes us to get through to Buffalo. He said, all right, have a nice time. Now, he never looked up out of the paper. And when we were going back into the States in Buffalo, holy cow, we went through the third degree there.
Yeah, we got Nexus cards. You heard of those? It's supposed to be like TSA pre-check, you know, and global entry and all that other stuff. So we can just drive through, and you got a special lane where you check in, and they, all you do is hand them your Nexus card, and they flash it. They usually don't ask any questions, and away you go. That was the card that Marion was trying to get her name changed on. That one was one of the difficult ones, you know, because of all the fraud and everything else. You probably heard us talking about it earlier. I think was talking about Greg about it. And like, a lot of this stuff you can't do, especially changing your name. A lot of this stuff you can't do on the Internet or via mail. They physically have to see you. So that's what we got there. So back on the Canadian thing, same thing. So that, you know, they got the Nexus card. We got it because when we go hopping around in the water, and the jet skis and the boat, don't have a boat anymore, but when we did, you don't have to worry about getting in the Canadian water or not, because if you got a Nexus card, it's kind of like a universal driver's license. You can come and go as you please, which makes it nice, because there is a lot of people that work here, live there, and versa visa, and their summer homes and things of that nature. So that makes it all kind of nice. That's kind of cool. So, but yeah, we went to Niagara Falls for a little mini honeymoon, and we just sailed right through. That was kind of nice.
Yeah, I think there's three different ways you can do it. You can do the enhanced license, which is the cheapest and the most casual way. That's what myself and probably a million other people got. Then you got the Nexus, like you described, which is for more frequent flyers. I know commercial truckers and stuff that have to go back and forth, you know, get the Nexus, I think. You know, and then, of course, there's the passport, you know, but you certainly don't need the passport. But that's my understanding of the three ways. I wouldn't need either a Nexus or a passport, but the enhanced license is handy, and it's no big deal to get. I don't know how much it makes it, you know, how much easier it makes it. You got to have one, right? I mean, I think you have to have one of them, or not. I don't know.
You have to have one,
The only other advantage is I fly a lot for work, you know, quote-unquote business trips, because these guys like to do business meetings in exotic places. And the nice thing with the Nexus card, it also has the pre-check. So you don't get, TSA pre-check and global entry, so you don't get strip searched when you go through the airport. You got your own private little line. So that's the other advantage to that. So, like this year, we got a trip to Punta Cana for one of the vendors that they're actually paying for. And then we got another one to the Carolina, one of the Carolinas. But it makes it a lot easier, you know, if you do any kind of traveling at all, even, you know, within the States, the Nexus makes it so much easier.
Yeah, and why is that? I mean, what keeps, somebody intent on doing harm from getting a Nexus, you know, and then... I don't understand what is getting that pre-Nexus thingy. I mean, it can rule out some things, but certainly if I were planning something and I could go get something like that in advance, you know, I would do that to make it easy, right? I'm just wondering what does that do for security? You know, and you know maybe they don't allow you have to be a citizen first of all, which would be a good start. But still, that don't rule nothing out. We've had some real douche canoes, you know, that were citizens. Look at that shooter down at the base in Texas. What the hell's up with this guy? Oh, man. Anyhow, get out from behind him. So I just was wondering what something like that does, you know, to a determined, you know, somebody determined and make some trouble.
Couple things. One, your face goes in the database, but the biggest one, too, was you have to go through an actual interview. It's actually, they schedule it for a half hour long. And when Marion got her interview, the agent started talking about who did her nails. And then Marion responded who did her nails and where it was and the whole ball of wax and, you know, I go to this place in Shelby Township or name whatever. And, she let Marion continue to talk, and then the entire interview was about their fingernails, and then she goes, oh, you're good, you passed, you know what I'm saying? So they just asked that qualifying question, like, are you, who are you, and who does your nails? And then when Marion started talking about local things in Shelby Township, or Macomb Township, wherever it was, the lady was very familiar with that area, and that was it. Boom, she got the stamp. So I think that's the biggest thing is the interview. So if you were to get one, you know, they'll try to ask you a question that's something that you got in common, like where do you work or what do you do and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they'll try to find some way to get you to, you know, to verify that it's true. You know, like, oh, who's the sheriff or, oh, who's your boss or something like that. You know, something that you should know off the top of your head.
Well, like I said, I'll never be going for a passport or a Nexus, so I don't have to worry about it. And I think the enhanced license was, I think all I needed for that was a birth certificate, right? So you still got to go through a quickie question at the gate or at the booth. So, all right. Hell, at the rate I'm going, I won't even need the darn enhanced driver's license. It's like I said, it's been 5 years and I still haven't got over to the little restaurant I want to get to. I just can't think of much else I want to go there for.
I do like the casino over there in Windsor. That's really nice, really clean. What I really like about it is it's non-smoking the entire place. That is what I really, really like about it. So, and the only bad thing about it is you really can't get lucky and win big money, because I think if you win over 10 grand, you have to tell them that you won over 10 grand.
I thought you had to do that everywhere. I didn't think that was unique to, Canada, but, yeah, I never understood that. That's such a crock, such a hypocritical crock and crap.
You know, they got so draconian on cigarettes over here. You know, even private clubs. If you're paying the bartender at a private club, you know, say, hey, you know, one of your members, you know, they could even be a smoker. You say, but if you're paying anybody a dime, then it doesn't matter if you're a private club, no smoking. And so we had this one club, the Canadian Legion, where they were paying the woman to work the bar. And you know, it used to be these old salty, you know, veterans were in there and stuff like that, and they'd be smoking at the bar. It's a private club. And then they got it shut down because they had one paid employee. So they, you know what happened? They just said, nope, sorry, we're not paying anymore. You're volunteers only. And, you know, so just, yeah, crazy. But my point is that how do you get that draconian about it, you know, everywhere else, but in a casino? Oh, it's okay in a casino. Bull crap. It's either it's banned or it's not. You know, I think that is the biggest cop-out. I just can't believe they allow that.
I have a feeling it has to do with tax dollars. That's what I think. It must do with tax dollars. A bowling alley was another one that took it real, real hard. I do remember, you know, that there's one restaurant out there in Chesterfield. I won't say which one it was. And it's an old story. It's back when they first started banning cigarettes in the restaurant. And she said that she liked it because she says it actually stops people from sitting there hanging around all day and just drinking coffee and smoking and talking. You know, because really, if you have a breakfast and coffee and you sit there for 4 hours, you know, smoking away and talking, then she's not making any money because, you know, she's losing money giving away all the coffee. And she said that was one of the things that made her real, real happy was when they did pass that, it stopped all the loitering. So I guess from a financial aspect, in that instance, okay, it was good for them. But I think in the casino atmosphere, you know, it's always the money. Always. I don't care what it is. And for the most part, it's always the money. You know, and they're looking at, oh, my gosh, look at how many customers we're going to lose if they can't smoke in here. You know, well, if you can't do it in one place, can't do it in the other place, I think the long-term effect is not going to be bad. But I have a feeling it had to do with money. Oh, MAKPP, answer that in a couple minutes.
Oh, I'm quite sure that's exactly what it had to do with, but that's just chicken shit, and they ought to be ashamed of themselves. You know, if you're so hell-bent on doing this, then do it, you know, and take the hit, you know, and, you know, but, you know, it's okay for, you know, the plebes to take the hit, you know, that they can't, you know, smoke anymore, or they can't go to their private club anymore or something. That's okay, you know, because they're nobody. But, you know, oh, you can't risk, you know, that. No, bull crap. It's either bad for, you know, workers and the environment and everything like that, or it's not. There's no, well, in a casino, it's different. No, it ain't. Ain't no different. So they're just pitiful, you know, excuses, and as most all politicians are, and, you know, and it's, of course it's money. You know, it just burns my ass. I've always felt that, regarding, you ain't going to get an argument from me. I think it's the greatest thing ever. Ban it everywhere. But that's my point. Ban it everywhere. And I will say this. They banned it while I was a smoker. So it's not like, I'm a non-smoker that was just waiting for my day in the sun. I was quite the smoker when the ban went into effect. And, I was, you know, I was no worse for wear. I'm like, fine. That's I got no problem with this. You know, it was good for me, good for everybody. And you know, was it convenient? No. And you know, and some people, you know, my wife, she's still very, you know, changed her completely. She used to love, like you said, she used to love going to the restaurant and just hanging out afterwards, you know, so she could smoke one cigarette after another and drink coffee. And now she can't do that. She has no interest in going to the restaurant. You know, not like she used to, and if she does, she just wants to eat and get the hell out. So, you know, it's changed the way she does restaurants completely. It's all based on that loitering thing, like you said.
Yeah, well, I never looked at it that way, and then she had made that comment, you know, that's what changed their place. Another one that told me the same story was Sugarbush. That changed them from a bar to a restaurant. And you're familiar with that place. I remember Kent told me that, too. You know, so
Yeah, well, yeah, that one little rule,
law, whatever you want to call it, I guess it's a law, it changed a lot of dynamics in a lot of places, you know, the breakfast houses and the things of that nature. So, yeah, it changed that, too. So, yeah, I guess it's, experience over here, see, that makes me, she goes, it changed it for me, too. I like sitting in restaurants now. Yeah, as long as they keep giving her tequilas.
Yeah, well, then there's that. People can stay and drink, right? You know, so, yeah, I got no issue with it at all. But I just really think that them allowing smoking in the casinos is just the biggest gutless, cowardly, you know, thing they've ever done. And I don't care how much money or anything like that, tough, then you either should make a decision. It's not worth it financially for all or all or none. There should be no special exception for what possible excuse could they have besides we can't afford to risk losing money, you know? And the other thing, too, is I don't necessarily believe that because gambling is an addiction for the majority of people that are making them money. And, you know, those people are going to go down there and blow their life savings no matter what.
Yeah, I know it. It's that's a habit. I do agree with you there. I'm approaching my final here, but that's a habit. My mom is that way too. I mean, she's addicted to bingo. And she's, well, it's not gambling, but I mean, she goes to the casino maybe once or twice a week, but she is addicted to bingo, and it's like, and I try to tell her, well, Mom, that's gambling too, and she's, no, it's not. So, yes, it is. You're paying money to win money. So, but I don't know. I don't think they can smoke in the bingo halls either. I think that that's still Marion saying that they can't. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure they can't, you know, because that's the common people. There's no big money angle there. You know, the state coffers aren't going to take a hit, you know, if they make an exception or if they ban that. Nope. Anyhow, well, hello, Marion. I hear you in the background. Hope everything went smoothly on your Nexus there. Sounds like it did. I am pulling up, though, at the drugstore here, and I want to get inside. I got some stuff, some scripts I got to pick up, so I will make this my final, and it sounds like you were just about at the end of your destination as well. So catch you guys in a bit. W8FU after yours.
Flaps down and pulling in the driveway. N-A-K-P-P.
W8FU. Well, that's one way to know you don't got enough money to buy a radio. It's got a Roger beep. FM.
WASFM Mobile, Grand Blanks.